BeCure Laser is now available in the UK. To get your very special offer right now, just call 0808 501 5122.
Welcome to the Good Grief Conversation. I'm your host, Janet Jones, and you're listening to UK Health Radio. This programme brings you honest, gritty, emotional and inspiring conversation around a subject that affects all of us, yet is still very much taboo. So join me now for this inspiring Good Grief Conversation. Hi and welcome back to the Good Grief Conversation. Today is the final part, so part four, of our series on losing a loved one. And today is quite a fun one, actually. And we're going to be talking about, you know, how to commemorate the loss of your loved one and how to kind of put a really nice full stop to their journey whilst here on planet Earth. So if you haven't listened to the other parts of this series, then they are episodes 25 to 28. And you can tune into all of those and listen to them all at once. You could go to www.thegoodgriefconversation.com, and there you'll find all the links that you need in order to find them and to tune in. So I hope you've been enjoying them. I hope they've helped you to do things a little bit more calmly and know that there are many people who get into this situation, and there's so many people who have the services that we need who can help us at the toughest of times, and also to make those tough times really memorable so that, you know, you can look back and it's not doom and gloom. You can look back and know that you gave your loved ones the best that you could give at that time. So that's why I decided to do this four-part series, really, and to have these conversations, just so that people know that, yes, it is a difficult time for all of us when we're dealing with losses of loved ones, but also to know that, you know, there is joy in that space also. So today I have three guests. I have Jason from And Vinyly, and he is going to tell us all about how you can put your ashes into vinyl and listen to your loved ones and all of that. I mean, it's a little quirky and fun, and Jason is just wonderful. And then I have Kevin from Algodanza, where you can get your loved one's ashes, put them into diamonds. And then I have Chris, where he can send your loved one's ashes up into space. And these are so creative, and there's so much love and compassion behind these services. So it's my great joy to introduce you to these three great guys. Enjoy the show, and I'll speak to you later. Jason, hi, and welcome to the Good Grief Conversation.
Hi.
Now, you do something really interesting with ashes, and in this particular program, we're talking about creative things that we can do to commemorate our loved ones. Do you want to just fill us in with what it is you do, and then we'll talk about why and what this means to you? But
okay, well, what we do at And Vinyly is we press ashes into real vinyl records, which can include music, favourite playlists, ideally spoken word, memories perhaps, voicemail messages, any audio, in fact, which are pressed into the record with the ashes as well. And these records can be played just like normal records, and obviously can be kept for generations.
I just think it's such a great idea, because you get to keep part of that person with you, which is really special, isn't it? You know?
Yes, I certainly, when I first came up with the idea, I was thinking about how much I would love to have my great, great, grandfather's record and to hear him talk and hear about what was happening to him at the time, what mattered, what didn't matter, maybe problems, things that he liked. And that sort of struck a chord with me. I also think the nice thing about them, which is stuff that I discovered because it was never meant to be a commercial enterprise. It wasn't an idea for a business. It was an idea for something for myself, which grew into this, was that, and I know this from experience because I've lost some friends who I've made music with over the years recently, for extended family and even very close friends who perhaps had spent a lot more time with someone who's passed away, even than maybe their family in the later years, actually all get a chance to get something, a memento that means a lot to them as well. So they're the sorts of things that we've realized the sort of value of it to more people perhaps than just one person who keeps an urn, because most of us touch a lot of people in our lives, and it's nice that everybody you did has an opportunity to have something to remember you by.
Yeah, so you don't just make one record then, or do you make the record and then digitize it? Or
yeah, well, the thing is, these are real records, and there are limitations with that, but there are advantages. The limitations probably related to cost, because to make a proper vinyl record, all of the expenses in the origination of the materials you need to make them, you master the audio, you cut the audio onto lacquers, an A side and a B side. And then from those, you make an, if you like, a negative of the record. It's essentially a tin pressing plate. So instead of the grooves that you'll be used to playing with a needle inside, you have a mounting range. And then you've got that for an A side and a B side. And they're the stampers, they're the pressing plates. And so when you press the vinyl, you're indenting the grooves, which the needle can go in. So these materials, they're not inexpensive to produce. But once they're produced, you can make, I mean, normally with a vinyl record, you'll make thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of copies from these pressing plates. Obviously, with And Vinyl Records, we tend to make between 1 and 50 copies, perhaps. Normally, I'd say 15 to 20 is probably the average amount. Sometimes people have one, but we do say, look, you've spent this money in producing them. You know, is there anybody else who might like one? Or perhaps you'll be surprised who would. Are there any close friends, perhaps, who would enjoy having a matter like this?
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, on one of your videos, I loved, there was a comment that you made, and we were talking about, or you were talking about, how we should open the conversation to the fact that this is a short trip on Earth that we have, really. And that if we open up the conversation to, you know, the fact that we will all die, and how we want that to be. I think you said something like, and that will allow us to live better.
Well, yeah. Again, the reason this came about was my mother got a job. It was a surprise, but she suddenly from nowhere got a job at a funeral director's. I was already in my mid-30s. And she kept saying to me, look, you must get your affairs in order. You know, you'll be amazed how many people of your age, we're dealing with families who've lost people of your age. And I was like, you know, stop it, Mum. I don't want to really hear this. And I was actually surprised and taken aback how much I tried to push it to the back of my mind, and I had done all my life, and how protected I'd been. I mean, I guess we're lucky. I mean, I must say that we're so protected and, you know, feel so safe that this isn't the forefront of our mind. And in fact, I sort of realized that I've been suppressing the thoughts about it. And even when I was young, my family were, in inverted commas, protecting me from the reality of the situation. And the more I thought about it, and the more I spoke to my peers and people around me about it, I realized people, they even got angry when I was asking them about them. They didn't want to talk about it. So I found it interesting and frightening. And that's where the idea came from. I sort of forced myself to think about it. And as I did, I realized rather than it being dark and depressing, it was actually liberating and made me think, crikey, I've got to make the most of my time while I'm here now. It feels like a long way away, but it's not. And, you know, to be able to think about leaving something actually makes you enjoy what you've got more at the time.
Yeah. And also, I guess, because it makes you live more, you'll have way more interesting conversation to put on that album. Whereas if we just live in fear of dying and living in fear of taking any risks or anything, then, well, I went to the supermarket today kind of conversation would go on the album, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, which goes on left, right and centre on social media at the moment, in fact. But yeah, I mean, another thing that I found interesting about it was when I started to think about, and it's a never ending process, what do you actually want to put on there yourself? You've got your view of how you are or how you want to be remembered, which is arguably two. And then you've got the way other people, your family and loved ones actually think of you. And when you start to ask them, it's very different what you think to what other people think. So we sometimes sort of think it would be good to have one side, which is how you'd like to be remembered, and maybe one side, how your family and friends actually remember you, because actually they might not be the same thing, and that also makes you readdress how you live and how you maybe treat people and how you treat yourself and what you do with your time.
Yeah. Have you mapped yours out? Do you know what's going on yours? I mean,
yeah, I'm always doing it every single day. It's an ever changing and moving thing, which a bit like life will be where it's at when the time comes. And it's more inspiring than it is depressing.
This is what I've discovered. You know, these conversations, they're not dark conversations. You would expect this to be like, oh gosh, you talk about death all the time. Being aware of it, it does make you live more. So maybe it's worth people taking some notes as to how they're feeling during COVID, and then that could go on, you know.
If that isn't a good point to mention for your record of yourself for your future descendants, I don't know what is. We encourage people to, rather than thinking about the, you know, favorite songs, for example, but also favorite places and the sound of these, because sounds are very evocative and bring back memories like smells. Sounds have always done that for me, and songs or even specific sounds from places. The difference in those places that I know and recognize, because I often take field recordings during lockdown to before, was completely different.
This has made people reflect and look at life very differently. And, you know, right at the beginning, suddenly people were looking at the countryside and at the flowers. And it's almost like, oh, my goodness, we've been so busy.
If you accept and think about and consider your mortality, then rather than it being something you're frightened of and push away, which is constantly looming, it's almost dealt with and you can get on with the best bit.
Yes, you can. And I don't think it is so much doing the planning and getting your affairs in order. I think it's, first of all, accepting that we are here on a short visit and that one day we are going to have to pack our bags and leave. But what you're going to do whilst you're here, that's the key.
Yeah, and you might not be able to even pack your bags.
You know, you might have to leg it quick. But like you say, in the meantime, though, because we know that this is happening for all of us, why not think about it? And I think it's quite a great sort of project to think about. What do you want people to say about you when you do leave? And what impact do you want to leave on the planet, if any?
And what have you learned that you might think you can pass on? I mean, I find that I always regret being too young when I really spent a lot of time with particularly my Swiss grandparents. I saw them a lot, but I was young, and I'd love to be able to pick their brains now. And I think when you've got that generational gap, you've only got real things to talk about. You haven't got the day-to-day stuff you're all caught up in. You can really only actually relate probably on things that really matter to us as humans rather than as a young person or an old person. And I think that they're the nice things to think about. You know, what is it I've learned? What could I say that would be interesting to my great-great-great-grandchildren? On this limited time of a vinyl record, two sides. So you've got to be succinct, and you've got to sort of think about what it is that you'd like to leave.
Yeah. How much time do you have on them to talk? What's the time scale?
If you're playing extremely raucous, loud music, maximum's about 18 minutes. If you're talking or it's ambient sounds, we can probably go to 22, 23. I've actually, with some ambient field recordings, gone up to 30 minutes, but I wouldn't be recommending people did that, because by then the grooves are getting narrower and narrower, And when we're putting ashes in a vinyl, normally you're trying to get rid of anything like dust or anything. And we've obviously developed a means of getting the ashes in the vinyl, inside it rather than on it. Even so, the narrower you make the grooves, whether there's ash or not, the more chance that a small scratch will make it jump. I would say if it's just spoken word and ambient sounds, definitely 22 minutes per side.
Right. Okay. So 40 minutes altogether. There's again on your website, there's that lovely part of your video with the guy, and I think it's his mum who's talking, and it's so lovely. And she is a great storyteller. She's brilliant.
Brilliant. I love that one because it was just great. Years before, he's used mini discs, which are fairly modern format, but they're not now. They're an old format. He just had the foresight to record, ask her about the family and ask her about when he was young. He recorded ours, and it was just amazing. Even though I didn't know her or him when I first listened, it was just amazing to listen to it because it was just such a treasure trove of information, which is just great. And I mean, you know, that's the sort of thing that I think is an ideal and vinyl-y record, because that means a lot to anyone who's a family member, yeah, or a friend, because all sorts of people were brought into it, and it might have been friends of his. His mum was talking about how he knew them and what they meant. So we always try to encourage as much of that sort of content as we can. People often initially find it more difficult because it's more difficult perhaps to trawl through and find. And they often take longer because I think they're finding them difficult, and or because they're really thinking, wow, I've got to find some more video footage or whatever. But then, you know, often quite a while later, they're very much more grateful for them because they mean so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Jason, I'm so glad I came across what you do. I think it's so very special. Yeah, you've got me thinking about my soundtrack, that's for sure. It'd be a bit of Luther Vandross.
Yeah, don't forget you've got the album sleeve as well, obviously, so you can use imagery, things like some people have, with the inner sleeve, they've used pictures of the person all over the sleeve, a collage, for example. One customer on the inner sleeve, they had lots of people writing messages and things that they remembered, which they then sort of collaged and printed up on the inner sleeve. So they had all these messages from friends and family. And other people have actually recorded, lots of friends and family have sort of like memories of the person and recorded them even on their phone or whatever and sent them in. And they've used those on the vinyl. So there's lots of different ways of making it work very well and different mediums to do it. So visual, and you've got the audio, of course. And then there's a labels in the centre as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And so for anybody who wants to find out more about this, where would they go?
Okay, this is the difficult bit. It's called And Vinyl-y, and their website's www.andvinyl-y.com. And that's spelt, and this is the hard bit.
Pay attention.
I deliberated a long time on that, whether I should spell it one way or another. But in the end, plump is andvinyly.com.
Andvinyly.com. Andvinyly.com. Okay, I'll put a link somewhere that people will click through.
If you search Ashes in Vinyl, it will come up.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Jason. I'll let you go and get your tea now.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye for now. Bye. Good morning, Chris. Thank you for joining me on the Good Grief Conversation. And in this conversation, we're talking about ways that people can celebrate the end of their life. You know, life journey is really special. And so it's finding those special ways to say, yes, I was here. And you have a great way of doing that, that is very unique. And so it's a real pleasure to have you here to share what you do and how people can do this unique form of celebration. So just give me, first of all, a little bit of background about yourself and what got you to doing this, first of all, and then we'll tell everybody what it is.
Sure. Well, thank you for the kind words. A little bit of background on us. Well, I studied at the University of Sheffield in 2005, and my PhD was in particle nanomanipulation, which is a very boring subject. And it looks at the world as the very small and how it moves, and lots of microscopes, as you might imagine. the investigation kind of moved on to the world of nanorobotics, that kind of thing, and ruggedized systems. So things that were designed to go into very harsh, very cold environments. As you might imagine, a lot of that is satellites, the things that go high above the Earth. What was born out of that was the parent company Sent Into Space. And Sent Into Space essentially offer a platform for advertisers, companies, anybody really, to get themselves into space, to use the breathtaking and unique environment of space, the you know, the backdrop being the curved Earth, a thin blue line of the atmosphere and the blackness of space, and of course their product in prime real estate in front of that view. So it was designed for companies like Nike, you know, who designed the Go Anywhere shoe or things of that nature, to, you know, do something different, do something very attention grabbing and get their product up there. And the kind of taglines write themselves, don't they? You can, you know, the Go Anywhere shoe, walking high above the Earth, you know. What we found in the early days of our sort of more research-based launches, because we still did a lot of launches where we would take an experiment or an item on behalf of a research body, and we would send that into space to be tested ahead of it going on to its maiden voyage. Because obviously there's a lot of expense goes into sending things high above the Earth. So if people are going to be developing a bit of circuitry or something that might go onto a satellite, they want to send it into a relevant environment first and then work out all the kinks. But one thing that was missing from those launches was the view. You know, we would get our results back, and we found that we were putting cameras on board just for our own indulgence, really, because sending up a piece of circuitry and then looking at the graphs and the data afterwards, that's all well and good. And that was the purpose of that mission, I suppose. But, you know, missing out on that fantastic view was, you know, a crying shame for us. So we would really revel in the tracking down, the relocation of our payload, which is our craft, if you like, that has everything on board. And looking at that footage, you know, that was different every time. The wow factor never really went away. And so from that, there was always a sort of subconscious understanding, if not conscious, that this is the perfect environment for scattering ashes above the Earth. Maybe that's a bit of a crazed leap at that point. But, you know, when it comes to a location that people want to scatter ashes in, I think they're looking for two things. They're looking for something beautiful, poetic. And my second point on that, I think people are also looking for something relevant, something that is representative of that lost loved one. And finding both those things can often be quite difficult. Finding one potentially might be easy, but trying to satisfy both criteria can be a little bit tricky. And what people do, in my opinion, they can get caught into a sort of downward spiral of trying. Once a certain amount of time has elapsed and you've not found that perfect location that satisfies both criteria, then the goalposts get ever narrower and nothing ever quite meets that expectation. A lot of people that get in touch with us definitely have that energy, that relief that they've finally conquered that unobtainable task, that they're so relieved that this seems to encapture what they were set out to do all that time ago. I guess what we're doing is we're offering people something that isn't site-specific. So you don't have to find that perfect individual location on Earth. You are given the Earth in its entirety to be scattered to.
And I guess you would get carried along on the airstreams with the weather and all that kind of thing as well. It's your last world trip, really.
You're absolutely right. And that's the beauty of it in a lot of ways. The science is that because you are scattered, and, you know, not to go into too much detail, it's not really a macabre subject in my opinion, but, you know, cremated remains are, whilst being quite varied in their form, they are largely a very fine particle. And we're scattering them very high above the Earth's atmosphere. So our missions go to close to 40 kilometers above the Earth. Now, at 19.2 kilometers, we pass what's called the Armstrong limit. And that is the commonly accepted gateway to near space. Near space, the prefix essentially denoting to being in space but close to the Earth. Rather than being in a far-flung asteroid field in deep space, we are in space but still in relative proximity to the Earth. This particulate will, when it is ejected at peak altitude, so our control systems on board will carry the ashes very safely to peak altitude, whereupon they tell the necessary aperture underneath the container, if you like, our urn, our space urn. When this reaches the altitude, it talks to satellites, it knows it's at the correct altitude, whereupon it will begin that scatter process. Now, there's a bit of a kinetic moment there, a bit of like it's opening. So you do get some ashes that are ejected kind of upwards that will continue their journey on into space, which, you know, has its nice ring to it.
That's cool even as well, isn't it? Yeah.
I think it is. It's a cool premise, you know, that onward journey into the unknown. What also is quite nice is that whilst we are in space, we're still subject to the Earth's gravity. It still exists. So over time, and it can be days, it can be weeks, it can be years, those particles begin to progress back down into the Earth's atmosphere. And at this point, they get caught up in the wind systems, the eddy currents of the jet streams and whatnot in the tropics. The troposphere is the lower portion of the atmosphere beneath the stratosphere. It's the air currents where all the mountains and the undulations of the Earth's surface cause the wind systems to all mix up. So still very high above the Earth. However, you've got wind currents there that will capture these grains of cremated remains. And the remains don't have a critical mass heavy enough to break through the wind currents. Until, of course, they travel all around the world and eventually they will nucleate a raindrop or a snowflake. It's interesting to learn that, you know, a raindrop or a snowflake cannot form without a nucleation point. I don't know if you've ever heard of the experiment where people put a bottle of very pure water in the freezer and they wait to reach its freezing point or just past its freezing point. There's a lot of videos of this on YouTube, and any listeners, they should go check it out. It's a very cool video. And if you take that bottle of water out of the freezer, it is still a liquid, despite passing its freezing point. And then what they do is they bang it on the surface and you'll just see the ice just grow instantaneously and the whole bottle freezes in 2 or 3 seconds. And what's happening there is when they bang the bottle on the surface, then bubbles form and those bubbles become the nucleation point for an ice crystal to grow. Then once you have an ice crystal, the rest can propagate off that and grow exponentially out until it's all frozen. So the point is that a raindrop or a snowflake needs something to grow on. It needs to nucleate on something, and that's what the cremated remains become. In essence, you return to Earth as a raindrop or a snowflake somewhere around the globe, which again, I think has a real beautiful message to it.
And a lot of comfort for, you know, the loved ones left behind, that when it does snow or rain, you know, you can just sort of feel, oh, you might be in this one, or, you know, losing a loved one, like, it stinks, and it's not for recommending at all. But it happens and it's part of life. And so I just think if we can make it beautiful and poetic, then it helps with healing. But what if it is beautiful and poetic? What if we're not just making it that way? You know, what if actually that's what it is, that dying, being part of living, is a beautiful thing? We don't know that because we're still alive. We haven't done it yet. We can celebrate it with something that is beautiful and poetic.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, one thing we can be certain of, it's a very natural thing. There's nothing more natural. So why not, I guess, celebrate that with a very natural progress? Essentially, the rain and the snow naturally forms around nucleation points. So we are basically encouraging that, we're sending ash up there and continuing the natural processes that occur. I suppose some people might hear that and wince a little bit, that there's something a little macabre about the rain or the snow seeding around what was formerly a person and, you know, the cremated remains. And it's worth remembering that this is a drop in the ocean in terms of the fact that there is ash up in the environment from volcanic eruptions. And if we did 100 launches a day for 1,000 years, we would be replicating but 1% of the effect of a volcanic eruption. You know, there's nothing unusual or dirty about cremated remains. It's incredibly, it's ash, it's very natural.
Pure, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and
absolutely.
It's a pure form. And it's the form that we all come from as well. It's stardust, and we're all from stardust. So
absolutely. And we're not describing some concentrated mass of ash falling down in one location. As we mentioned before, it gets spread all around the world. So this is the equivalent of taking a little dropper of a solution and dropping it in one ocean, and then someone on the other side of the world dipping their toe in and expecting to sort of notice some kind of difference. You know, it's the beauty of dilution in a lot of ways. You are part of the global weather systems rather than just one location.
No, it sounds great to me. And I was so pleased when I came across your work. And to think, you know, when we do come to the end of the life, you know, it's just nice to have these creative things that we can do. You know, I've been talking to Jason from And Vinyly. And, you know, it's just such a great conversation, because at And Vinyly, you are able to put your ashes into a record and be heard, you know. So
what a fantastic name. I love it. And Vinally, perfect, isn't it?
Great, isn't it? And Vinally, yes, yeah.
I'd heard of this. And what, you know, what he's doing beautifully, as I believe we all are, is you're giving someone a connection to that person that has passed on. So, you know, the family in that case can put that vinyl record on together or at a celebration or individually, and they feel a connection to that person who has gone. And, you know, with the addition of the music, what more of an emotional connection do you need? And I like to think that we're doing the same thing. We're not just achieving this, I'm going to use it, out of this world opportunity. It's a little bit cheesy, that tagline, but, you know, it's not just that that happens and they have that wonderful connection to nature. So what we also want to do is, like Anne Vinally, give that takeaway moment, that physical thing that people can share with their loved ones or privately. And that's the fact that we record the footage, the moment of scatter, so that after the flight, our editing team put together a creative video edit with music and any personal touches that the families wish to contribute. And that goes back to them on a USB device. And they can be part of that moment. They can, you know, see the point at which their loved one beautifully scattered at this very unique location above the earth.
Yeah, just even thinking about that is quite breathtaking, you know, to think that it's your loved one that's up in space, that you can watch all that scattering actually happen. It sounds great. So where can people get more information about this from, Chris?
So our website is ashesinspace.co.uk. Company is called Aura Flights. The best way to get in touch with us is to go on the website and drop us an email. You can very easily subscribe for further information if you're just curious and don't necessarily want to investigate this, but want just more information to know your options. It's something that people take a lot of reassurance from. It's a ceremony first, you know, it's a real cathartic opportunity, not necessarily to just let go, although physically you have an opportunity to do exactly that, you know. So we try and get the families as involved in the process as possible. So not everybody wishes to sort of take advantage of the launch ceremony. It might be difficult for people to get to us. We're based in Sheffield. A lot of people just want to send the ash to us, or we have a collection service and then we take care of everything. And then ultimately they will be reunited with their certification and their video edits and all the rest of it. But if you are able to be part of it, then we try and get the families as involved as possible. So it's actually them that is part of that, sending their loved one on to the next chapter of their existence. And they can look on their phone, or of course, if they've not been able to be there in person, they have family in Australia and New Zealand, they can get their phone out or their laptop and just look at the continuation of that payload, the point at which it's released, and they can be part of that journey. That's all well and good, and that works very well. But what if we could have a big red button on the ground so that the family can gather around, and when they're ready, the payload is high above the earth and the time is right and the view will look fantastic. They can be the ones to physically push that button, so it's them that scatter the ashes themselves, which I think has this additional cathartic loveliness to it that I think adds something. You know, why not?
I just think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant. We can make this decision ourselves as well. We don't have to wait until we've died and someone else decides for us. You know, this is something we can plan into how we want to be released, shall we say, when it's our turn to fly this earth. But no, I think that's just brilliant.
You're quite right. Well, we've actually seen a great uptick in people looking to introduce this into their will, then this is all taken care of in their wishes. And if they want to do that, they can specifically utilize our services and get this booked in legally through a company called Dead Happy.
They sound like somebody I need to speak to.
You will have a pleasure talking to Dead Happy. We're keen partners of theirs. They essentially cater for death wishes and the market of death wishes. It's everything you want to happen after you die. You know, everything from very potentially expensive, ambitious things like, I want my family to be taken on holiday every year whilst I'm not there, to I'd like the bins taken out for my widow in my absence every week, or flowers sending every few days. They've got everything, and they're very keen to utilize our services as being bold and unique one for sure. So if people want to have their ashes scattered in space after they die, they can do that through deadhappy.com.
That's absolutely fantastic. Well, I'll definitely be in touch with them and get them on. Chris, that's lovely. We're out of our little time slot, but thank you so much for joining me, and so superb. Keep scattering.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you.
Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the Good Grief Conversation.
Hey, Janet.
Thank you for joining me. Now, we don't have long to talk about this because in today's show, I've got three guests involved. And so we've got about 15 minutes to chat about this really special thing that you do. And I say it's special because I know I want to do this. So just introduce yourself, Kevin. The company that you represent is Algodanza. So tell me a little bit about yourself, how you came to be the UK representative for Algodanza, and what that is.
Well, it's a funny sort of start to the conversation because it happened about 5 years ago. My dad came to visit me from Sunderland, where I'm originally from. I've lived in London for 20 years. And just over a few beers, he, out of the blue, told me he prepared for his funeral. He was 65 at the time and still relatively young and healthy. And he just said that even though we're not a religious family, he prepared for a church funeral. So it's your standard hearse, coffin, and plot. And it was fairly expensive for what you're talking about. And then the following day, the first thing I read on the morning was about those biodegradable urns, Urnabios, a Spanish company, where your ashes fertilize the seed of your favorite tree. And it's very cathartic. It was really stood out to me. That week, a friend told me, a friend of his who died from cancer, asked him, because my friend did vinyl cutting, wanted some vinyl put on his coffin. Then me and my friend were talking about it, and we just discovered through conversation all of these amazing positive things you can do with your ashes, like ashes into vinyl records, space, fireworks. But the two things that stood out to me, I have a bit of a jewelry background, was ashes into diamonds and ashes into jewelry. So jewelry pendants that can hold a small amount of ashes. And I discovered some of the diamond companies. There's five notable ones in the world, but the one that really stood out was Algodanza. They're based in Switzerland, and they're the only ISO certified diamond company in the world, and the only ones where you can visit. Even if you don't purchase a diamond, you can go along and see the process, and it's very accessible. 1.5 hours train ride journey from Zurich Airport. I got in touch with the owner, Ronaldo, there, and luckily he didn't have any representative in the UK. So I went over to meet them. He liked my ideas, and I loved what they had been doing for 15 years. Make around over 1,000 diamonds per year in 35 countries worldwide, and just positive feedback for the company. So it's been 4-5 years now where I've been the sole representative for Algodanza. And also a year after that, I set up separately a memorial jewelry company, so pendants that I've designed and have made in the UK to suit all purses, stainless steel, silver, gold. A token amount of ashes go in the pendant. So when somebody dies, it's that loss, and you do feel at a loss, where if you can have something close to your heart in a pendant or a diamond ring or even a diamond pendant, it keeps that connection alive. You can talk to them. You feel some sort of reassurance. You can tell them off if you like, just to keep that connection of, because losing the lost one is what it is. You have lost the lost one, but you want to just hold on to that connection in any way you can. And if it's a diamond where you can go on holiday with them, it's just something really beautiful and positive.
Yeah, I love the idea. I just think it is a really special way of being able to carry your loved one with you, you know, whether it's in your jewelry or the diamond with Algodanza, it's that way to carry them with you. Whether, and it could all be rubbish, but you just think, well, actually, I can talk to them in if I carry them. And when you've got something tangible, then it just feels more real. Like you can talk to them in your head and people say, oh, but they're always with you. But I think when you've got that tangible thing with you, you know, it's really comforting because you don't feel you've completely lost. The other thing that I really like about it is because this is, you know, adding something of beauty to you, the chances are someone is going to ask you about that piece of jewelry, that item of jewelry, and that gives you the opportunity to share your story and to speak your loved one's name. Because I think that's the hardest thing when you do lose a loved one, is that people stop talking about them. For many reasons, they do that.
It's a nice conversation starter. our first customer in Kent, Nicola, she unfortunately lost her husband in his 30s. She was in her 30s too. And she wanted to do something that she could keep his memory alive, but also move on with her life because she had many years yet to live. So what she did, she took her two diamonds from her engagement and wedding ring, and she had Algodanza Memorial Diamond, 0.5 brilliant cut diamond, set in the middle, where she designed the ring herself with help from our jeweler that we recommend. And she had this absolutely stunning diamond she was going to wear on her left hand, so she could keep her husband's memory alive and be respectful in that way, but also move on with her life. And we kept in touch afterwards, and she said it's such a, because people ask about the diamond because it's so stunning. It's just a very unique design, which obviously she designed, but also the memorial diamond in the center. It's a blue diamond set either side of her two engagement and wedding diamonds. And she loves talking about her husband just to keep his memory alive. And it's a nice conversation starter because you're talking about a beautiful diamond ring. You can talk about your husband in a positive manner and be happy enjoying his memory, rather than somebody asking what did you do with the ashes, and you have to say, well, it's sitting in the mantle under the in the cupboard, you don't know what to do with it,
or being afraid to mention the ashes or what you did, or there's a fear, you don't want to upset people. So half the time nobody mentions that. So I think this jewelry, like you say, it's a great conversation starter, and it's a positive conversation is coming from it, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's cathartic and reassuring in many respects. Some of the beautiful things you can do with ashes now are very cathartic, but this is just a stunning piece of jewelry that can inspire you and just be positive about the person that you love that isn't now around in the human form, but is still there in a spiritual and physical form as well.
Yeah, I love that idea. And yes, there are some great things to do, but this is really the only one that allows you to carry them with you daily. So tell me a little bit about the diamond, because it doesn't look like your regular white diamond, does it?
No, we're the only company that won't add a single thing to the diamond process. So the diamond is purely made from the ashes itself. Why would you want to add something? And also, if you add something that isn't a natural diamond, because diamond can only be made from carbon. So our diamonds, we need a minimum of 500 grams. You can use all the ashes if you prefer, but we need a minimum of 500. Normally, there's around 2.5 to 3 kilos. And the diamond process takes around 6 to 8 months, depending on the size of the diamond you get. But we don't add anything to the diamond, so we can't tell you exactly what color will be formed in. It will either be clear to a dark blue. So from clear to a light blue to a natural dark blue. And that all depends on the element boron, which is in all of our ashes. So the more boron that is bound to the carbon grid, the darker the diamond will be. A small amount of our diamonds will be clear, ranging from a light blue to a dark blue. And it's sort of funny that over the last few years, we found subliminally and spiritually beautiful that some of our customers seem to be getting the color diamonds that they want. So I delivered a diamond last month. The lady, she cared for her husband. He had lung cancer and it was a traumatic 4 years for her. And they talked about what they would do with the ashes after he'd gone. And the only thing that stood out to him was the diamonds. And they both wanted a dark blue diamond. And this lady's had a 2-carat diamond, rough uncut diamond. So it's, you're not going to find another one like it in the world. And when I delivered the diamond, she broke down in tears. And we didn't know that she wanted a dark blue diamond, but it's come out a deep, dark blue. And she's absolutely over the moon. A client in Brighton, she wanted a clear diamond and probably, I don't know the exact numbers, maybe 10 to 20% of diamonds will be clear. She and her husband, similar circumstances, she wanted a clear diamond. But going back to the color, yeah, it's, we don't add anything, so we can't say it will be clear, light blue, or dark blue.
Yeah, so what is boron then? Is it something that is in our bodies anyway?
Yeah, it's naturally in our bodies anyway. So like I say, we don't add a single thing to the diamond process. It's purely made from the carbon of your loved ones.
So very unique.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a unique thing anywhere, a memorial diamond, but to say you wanted yellow or whatever colour, you're sort of dictated in the process, where our process is purely left to the ashes itself. Most people do get a cut diamond, and the most popular one is a brilliant cut because it does sparkle the most as in diamonds. But we do offer uncut diamonds that are cheaper. Again, it adds even more uniqueness to this beautiful process because you don't know how the diamonds will be formed. We do polish it. It's not cut at all. So to add to the unique process, the colour and the shape is purely dictated from the ashes of your loved one.
Oh, right. So even the shape as well then. So it's not going into a mould or anything like that. So how is it done? Talk us through briefly how this is done. Because it seems crazy to be able to make a diamond out of a person, you know.
It is. All we do is replicate how diamonds are formed in the Earth's crust, but very quickly, because it takes millions of years for diamonds to be formed. So we have our amazing machines in Switzerland, high pressure, high temperature machines. So it's 1,400 degrees heat, 16 tons of pressure. The carbon is transformed into graphite. Then the graphite is put in the high pressure, high temperature machines. In just the pressure in the heat, which is exactly how diamonds are formed in the earth, happens in 6 to 8 months in our lab in Switzerland. And the longer you leave it, the bigger the diamond grows. It's quite as straightforward as that. And then once the diamond is formed, if you want it cut, we can cut into any diamond cut you like, or it will just be left as an uncut rough diamond if that's what you prefer.
And what sort of size would it be? You know, if you left it uncut, I'm asking for myself now here.
Yeah.
If you left it uncut, if you had, so 500 grams of ashes and you did that, how big would it likely to be?
Well, the biggest one we've actually made is around 2.5 carats, which is a sizable diamond.
In millimeter size, though, what would that look like?
Yeah, it's around about 6 mil. So it's a beautiful size. So, I mean, some of our diamonds, our smallest diamond is 0.15 carat, which is very small, but they're beautiful diamonds. The average size of our diamonds is 0.4 worldwide. But we start off at 0.15 for a family pack. For our singular diamonds, it's 0.3. For a 0.3 rough uncut diamond, the price starts at £2,000. They are slightly more expensive than mine diamonds, but the process is a lot more costly.
And it's unique. You know, it's unique to you as well, isn't it? So,
I mean, what you can't put a price on the personal element of a memorial diamond. And the more memorial diamonds are exactly the same as mine diamonds. They are a diamond. We had a great article in National Geographic recently, and then they said, let's be clear, memorial diamonds aren't just similar to a mine diamond. They are identical down to the atomic level. So it's not just, if you think a synthetic diamond and it's not a real diamond, memorial diamonds are completely real diamonds, identical to mine diamonds. All of our diamonds will be VS1 grade, which is the top grade of diamonds you can get, and that's up to 1 carat, because after 1 carat, you're more likely to get flaws. And flaws are found in all diamonds, but up to 1 carat, 80% of our diamonds will be VS1. Which is a perfect diamond.
Well, it sounds absolutely beautiful. And I can't wait for the day to come when I can have mine on my finger and carry my boy with me.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you. And you can also design, if you're going to set it in a pendant, you can design the pendant, design the ring. We have an amazing jeweler in Kent called Bill Foreman, who's designed rings for A-list celebrities and royalty. He had a hand in Princess Diana's wedding ring.
I need to start saving up then.
Well, that's the thing. He is cost effective. He just loves to work. So it's not as expensive as you would think. Or you're more than welcome to use a jeweler of your own too.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great. I am a long way from there because I do need to save up for this, but it's high on my list of priorities. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me on The Good Grief and sharing, you know, this really special thing that people can do with their loved ones. I think it's really, really special. So thank you for bringing that to the UK and doing that for us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Yeah,
thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Janet.
Well, aren't those three great guys? very creative, offering wonderful solutions for a nice, sparkly full stop at the end of anybody's lives. And so I hope you found them to be really, really inspiring. Now, if you want any of their details, then go over to thegoodgriefconversation.com and you'll find links to all of those. And also you could join me on podcast extras. The links will all be in there. So head over to www.thegoodgriefconversation.com and yeah, sign up for the podcast extras. We now have a fantastic library of gifts that offer insights, inspiration, comfort, you know, everything that you need to transition a life after losing a loved one. And that is really important because that brings value to the person that we've lost. So now I would like you to just take a moment, think about how you want to be celebrated, and then stand up, take a big stretch, let a smile warm over your face, and then get out and live the life that you want to celebrate. I'm Janet Jones, and you've been listening to the Good Grief Conversation. Don't forget, if you would like to get in touch, we're all over social media. And if you've any thoughts and ideas, just ping me an email at janet@thegoodgriefconversation.com. I will see you next week. In the meantime, stay safe, be happy, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.